And good evening and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard. I'm coming to you live this July 9th, 2020. And live from a beautiful radio ranch. Looks like a few clouds off one way. We've got a 300-acre fire burning about 40 miles north of town. But haven't got any smoke from it yet. It's been a beautiful day here at the radio ranch. But I've been inside working most of the day. Didn't really get to get outside and enjoy the outside day, but getting mail out and working on some thank yous and just a little bit of everything here at the Radio Ranch, and happy and blessed to be able to do so. Want to welcome you tonight. We'll have the phone lines open, 307-745-5913. If you'd like to give a call, if you have a question or a comment. Boy, there's so much going on. I saw this. I think we prayed this a little while ago, but this is the first recorded prayer of the Continental Congress. It was given in 1774 by Reverend Jacob Deutsch, D-U-C-H-E, Dutch Deutsch. And I think it applies. So I'd like to use it as part of our opening prayer tonight. Hopefully you're opening up your day, your endeavors, your trips, your activities with prayer. Hope you have that spirit about you. Well, let's pray. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, look down in mercy, we beseech Thee, on these, our American states, who have fled to Thee from the rod of the oppressors and thrown themselves on Thy gracious protection, desiring to be henceforth dependent on Thee. To Thee have they appealed for righteousness of their cause. To Thee do they now look for that countenance and support which Thou alone can give. Be Thou present, O God of wisdom, and direct the counsels of our honorable assemblies. Enable them to settle things on the best and surest foundation, that the scene of blood may be speedily closed, that order, harmony, and peace may be effectually restored, and truth, justice, religion, and piety prevail and flourish among the people. All of this we ask in the name and through the merits of Jesus Christ, Thy Son and our Savior. And Heavenly Father, thank You here, well, over 200 years later, that some still cry out to the Creator of the universe, to our Heavenly Father, to Abba, God, to Jesus Christ. We still cry out to You, O Lord, and we say, save us, save our people, save Your people. Save our nation, Your nation, this America, this heavenly kingdom here on earth. Save it from the hands of those that would destroy it. Father, save it from those that overstep their bounds, that certainly have been a rod of correction in Your hand, but Lord, they don't want to stop there. They want to continue on and destroy us, destroy our history and what freedoms we have. So, Father, we do cry out to You. Hear our plea. Hear our cry. Father, there are Your people that are returning to You. And we thank You for that. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for the healings that they are receiving, for the benefits and the blessings and the peace and the comfort that come, even in amidst these trying and perilous times. Thank You. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for coming. Suffering the punishment that we deserve. Thank You for taking that at the cross and saving us from our sins, from our sicknesses and our diseases, and also from those that hate us. Thank You for that salvation. Holy Spirit, guide and direct me this evening. Give me the words to say, the scriptures to go to encourage Your people. And I thank You. I thank You for this opportunity. And I pray all this to Your glory, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Now that the prayer that I opened with, the first recorded prayer of the Continental Congress, and I can send you a copy of this if you like. We've got it kind of typed out. But not long after that, the Continental Congress made their first official call for prayer. And they set aside May 17th, 1776, as a national day of fasting, repentance and prayer for the colonies. And in this act, the Continental Congress's first official call for prayer, they specifically mention Jesus Christ. So it's not just to God and all the gods, but it's to Jesus Christ. Because they understood that was the only way to get to God the Father was through the Son. So, even back in 1774, yes, we just celebrated July 4th last week, the nation's birthday. But even before that, the Continental Congress of this nation, as part of the Christian heritage that we have, the Christian foundation of this nation, were calling on Jesus Christ. They were. Well, folks, we do have the phone lines open tonight, 307-745-5913. I hope you were able to join us this last Sunday. We've got the computers and the stream back up and running, and the Timeless Pulpit Truth that we had from Pastor Peters was, and he gave this a couple of different times, but it's called Give Us the Spirit of Our Forefathers. And in it, our pastor contrasts the spirit that, well, was in the land in the day that he gave this message. And he contrasted that to the spirit that our forefathers had that went up against the largest military in the world. And it wasn't 100% of all those in the colonies that were fighting that Revolutionary War. No, it wasn't. It was just a few. Just a very few. And so I hope you saw that. The archives are right there on our limited website. You can go there, sfaw.org or scripturesforamerica.org, and you can play this past Sunday's July 5th, the Timeless Pulpit Truth. And again, it's Pastor Peters. Give us the spirit of our forefathers. And that's my prayer today and tonight for you, is I want you to make sure you have the right spirit. And it's quite possible that you need to have a different spirit. How about the spirit of our forefathers? If you're unfamiliar with that, go back and watch that on the computer. If you don't have that computer access, maybe you're listening on shortwave, you contact us. I'll send you a free DVD church from this past Sunday so you can see that. So you can see and maybe learn about the spirit of our forefathers that came through. And so, boy, the biblical ramifications and tie-ins of that American Revolution, let's look in Numbers 13. Because, like I said, it's quite possible you need a different spirit about you. Many in the land today do. Many do need a different spirit about them. Okay? Caleb, in Numbers 13, let's take a look. Numbers 13, remember Caleb, this certainly applies, so just stick with me. Let's read this a little bit. Caleb 13, verse 7, or Numbers 13, verse 7, actually verse 27, it says, they told him, we went in the land that you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large, and moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Amalek is living in the land of the Negev, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites are living in the hill country, and the Canaanites are living by the sea and by the side of the Jordan. And so they were getting a report. The spies had gone and spied out the promised land. And this was the report that most of them were giving. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, we should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we shall surely overcome it. And so, see, Caleb had a little different story. He had a little different outlook based on it all. And so, I want you to see how this applies today. Okay? And so, but the people, no, they didn't want to go up. They didn't want to go do that. See, they had a certain spirit about them. We're gonna explain that in just a second. They had a certain spirit about them, and we find that in many of our friends and family today, this July 9th, 2020, right here in America. So let's, in Numbers 14, 6, let's read a little bit more. Okay? Because, and I want to do this in order. I could have went up and started in Joshua, but I want to do this in order. So Numbers 14, 6, Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and those who had spied out the land, they tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, saying, "The land which we pass through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord is pleased with us," let me read that one again. "If the Lord is pleased with us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they shall be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." But all the congregation said to stone them with stones. So see, they brought this good news from the Lord, this good news that God had provided for his people. Now remember the story. He's pulled them out of slavery in Egypt. They've been there for hundreds of years. He's marched them across the desert. He's given them a Red Sea deliverance. As they walked through the Red Sea on dry land, with the ocean parted before them by a wind. And when they got out the other side, here comes the SWAT team, Pharaoh's army, and as they're trying to cross on dry land, God closes the waters. And the greatest army of that time was destroyed. So they've been delivered. They've seen these things, and still they doubt. They have this spirit about them, the spirit of Egypt, which was a spirit of slavery. And they hadn't got over, and that's the story of the children of Israel in the wilderness. They couldn't overcome that spirit of slavery. So folks, you have to make sure you've overcome your spirit of slavery, your spirit of Egypt, to get the promises of God. I hope you see that correlation. I hope you see that hear this story. Now, Caleb, let's take a look. And I've got some of Wesley's notes on the Bibles, okay? Because that kind of explains it a little bit better. I like how he puts it. He's got a few descriptions in here. In Joshua 14:6. Yeah, Joshua 14, it says, "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and has followed me fully, him I will bring into the land where he went, and his seed shall possess it." Okay? Now, that's Numbers 14:24. Joshua 14:6, "The sons of Judah drew near to Joshua and Gilgal, and Caleb, the Kenizzite, said to them, 'You know the word which the Lord spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart.'" See, he believed the word that we read earlier about the land flowing with milk and honey, and that the Lord would give them the land. Verse 8, "Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear, but I followed the Lord my God fully. So Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land on which your foot is trodden shall be an inheritance to you and to your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God fully. And now, behold, the Lord has let me live just as he spoke these 45 years, from the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses when Israel walked in the wilderness. And now, behold, I am 85 years old. I am still as strong today I was in the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now, for war and for going out and coming in. Now then, give me this hill country about which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day that Anakim were there with great fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out as the Lord has spoken.' So Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. So I hope you know that story. You can read it there in Joshua. You could take a look up at it in Numbers. But that story of Caleb, okay? But my servant Caleb, back to where we read about it here in Numbers 14:24, my servant Caleb, see, he was one. It was only Caleb and Joshua that were of that generation of the children of Israel that were over 20. They were the only two that made it into the promised land. Yeah, they had the years of wandering, but they made it into the promised land. Caleb, verse 24 says, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit. See, that was the spirit of our forefathers. Because he, what did he do? He trusted God. So even remnant out there today, make sure you have that different spirit. That spirit that Caleb had. Go back and read it in Joshua. Oh, I love the beginning of Joshua. Be strong and courageous. That's what we need today. Be strong and courageous. Again, I command you, says the Lord, to be strong and courageous. That is how we are to be today. Every day, but especially today. And so, Caleb, going back to Wesley's notes on the Bible, Caleb, it was Caleb and Joshua. Now, Joshua wasn't mentioned because he was still attending Moses. He was Moses' attendant. So he was busy, you might say, behind the scenes. He was doing what he was called to do at that time. But he was still included. But when Wesley's notes on the Bible says, you know, he had another spirit, and these Bible notes, they expand on that. What was that other spirit he had? Well, he was a man, it says here, of another temper. And not just a hot temper that he got mad, but no, another temper. He was like steel that had been tempered. He'd been through the fire, and he understood these things that were being put before him. Where the other people that didn't understand, they saw giants and they saw themselves as ants and grasshoppers compared to these mighty people in the land. And they saw that there was just no way that they could come in and take the land. But Caleb was of a different spirit. He was a man of another temper. See, he saw things through the glasses and the you might even call it not the veil, but through the he saw it with biblical eyes, with godly eyes, that hey, we can have this. We can have this. Don't rebel. If the Lord is pleased with us and we don't rebel against him, he'll give us all this. See, he knew. And he told the people. See, that's another thing. He knew he didn't want it just for himself. He didn't want just him and maybe his family to be saved. He didn't want just him and his family to have enough provisions and to have this bountiful land. No, he wanted all the people. He quieted the people before Moses, it says. And he told them. He told them he was almost a prophet in that time. And that's what he did. He prophesied to the people. And the congregation wanted to stone him, it says in Numbers 14:10. And we see that very thing today. When you come out with truth today and you try to tell people you don't have to wear a mask, it doesn't help you. It doesn't protect you from the COVID. And it doesn't protect others if you have it. It doesn't. And if you are out wearing a mask all day, you're not getting enough oxygen that you should be. And it's a form of control. Oh, the people want to stone you. I was in the post office yesterday, and the lady next to me, the people were doing a transaction, and the post lady said, well, asked the person next to me, do you have the right change? Because there's a national coin shortage, and we don't have enough coins to give you the right amount of change. And the person there said, oh, okay, well, and they did something. And I thought, you know, a coin shortage, right? See, it's another step, people, to a cashless society where every dollar you have can be tracked and taxed and accounted for. How about that? Oh, it's a step in that direction. Just another step. What better time than to roll it out when, oh, you don't want to be handling that dirty COVID virus-infected money. Just swipe your card and we'll take care of it for you. See, that's just another one of the enemy's plans. Control. But Remnant, you have a different spirit. You're like Caleb of old. You have a different spirit. You are of another temper, like he was, like Wesley's Notes of the Bibles say that he was. He had another spirit. He was a man of another temper, faithful, and courageous. Now see, faithful is that we agree with the Bible, where it says that God is not slow, as some consider slowness, but he is patient. He is patient. So we have to understand that in this time of, I gotta have it now, I want it right now, whether it's the weather report, or whether it's my drive-in food, or whether I want to be able to talk to whoever I want to talk to, or I want my news right now, or I want my movie right now, in this gotta have it now society, we have to have patience. And patience allows us to be faithful. When we are patient, we know that God is always at work. He is always at work behind the scenes, just like he is right now. So, remember, Caleb had another spirit. He was a man of another temper. He was faithful and courageous. And we need men and godly women to be faithful and courageous today. Courageous. Full of courage. Not afraid when you know that you're right, godly and biblically, not afraid to act on that. Be strong and courageous, we read. Be strong and courageous. That's what we are to be. It says that he had another spirit. He was not acted by that evil spirit of cowardice. See, the cowardice that was all around him. He was part of the 12 spies that went. And most of the others were cowards. Oh, they're too big for us. Oh, they mean to harm us. Oh, we can't come against them. But he was not acted. He was not acted upon. He was not influenced by that spirit of cowardice. See, he stood up to that. He didn't go along with the crowd. What a great lesson for each and every one of us today. He didn't go along with the crowd, and he outlived them all. How about that? How about that? Remember there in Joshua, he says, that was 45 years ago. I'm as strong today as I was in that day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now. For war and for going out and coming in. And you can claim that, Remnant, as a godly, biblical promise if you have that different spirit. That spirit of faithfulness and a being of another temper and courageous and not impacted and affected by the cowardice and the unbelief and the disobedience which is around us all. We have to guard ourselves from that. Each and every one of us do. I do as well as you. Guard ourselves from that and not be taken in by the disobedience. Disobedience. If God tells us to do something, we should do it. If He tells us not to do something, we should not do it. That works for food and eating as well. Take it or leave it. That's how me and my house are. Whether they all follow it after they leave my house or not, I can't tell. But as for me and my house, we do our best to be obedient, because that pleases God. Now, are we 100% obedient? No. And neither are you. But when we try, when we are surrounded by disobedience, and we note that and we say, we're not going to be that way. We're not going to be disobedient like so many. See, that's part of that having a different spirit. Being ruled by the Spirit of God. Welcoming. Asking. Do you ask the Holy Spirit to come in and guide your day during your morning prayers? I hope that you do. I hope that you do. Right there after you put on his armor. Right there after you put on the armor that David had. Oh no, David, not Saul's armor. Not Saul's armor when he went out to meet Goliath, but the full armor of God. Oh, he had on the helmet of salvation. And he had on the breastplate of righteousness. And his feet were shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace as he went out and slayed that God-forsaken giant. That's the spirit we need today, remnant. Not a spirit of cowardice. We are not men that fall back. We are not men that shrink back. Not at all. Not at all. But see, that spirit of cowardice and unbelief and disobedience, see, that ruled in his brethren. That's the spirit that ruled all the rest of the children of Israel in those wilderness wanderings. It was that spirit of Egypt. It was that spirit of slavery that they could not come out of. They couldn't come out of it. They were so used to it. They couldn't overcome it. They couldn't see the freedom that God had given them, the liberty that he had given them in bringing them out of Egypt and out of that slavery. Galatians 5:13 says, "For you are called to freedom, brethren." I think I read this in communion this past Sunday. You are called to freedom, brethren. Here we are, right here in July. Freedom has a birthday. Freedom. Well, let's read about freedom from the Scripture, because that's where definitions are. That's where we have to have and have to find proper definitions. For you are called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. How about that? You want to be obedient? You want to be obedient to the law? You want to fulfill the law? That's being obedient to it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, you need to differentiate, and if you've got some left-wing, harebrained, cross-dressing, dyke, doesn't-know-what-bathroom-to-use idiot trying to smash your window as you're driving down the road with a brick, well, that might not be your neighbor. So, I hope you can differentiate and see the difference there. Okay? Verse 16 here of Galatians 5 says, "But walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit." And that's what it did in the days of Judah, in the days of Joshua, and in the days of Caleb. Was that flesh? Oh, they were scared. It set its desire against the Spirit. Back to Galatians 5:16-17, it says, the Spirit against the flesh, for they are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. How about that? You can read on through it, and it talks about the deeds of the flesh and the fruits of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You know, that comes to mind when we read about Wesley's notes about Caleb being of a different spirit, about being of another temper. See, that's self-control. Self-control. I think that certainly applies there. We need these things today. We need, because folks, who knows what's coming tomorrow? Who knows? No one knows. So all you can do is be ready to the best of your ability. And I think that's the times that we are in. You know, the times that I've been reading to you tonight about when Caleb and the children of Israel went through the wilderness wanderings, through the desert. See, those stories, those scriptures are given for our learning. Now see, they did not have time to prepare. It was, you know, the eat the Passover, gird your loins, strap on your sandals, get your staff, eat and get ready to go. And that was it. They had like a day's notice. So there's no planning ahead. There was no preparation other than obeying God and preparing the Passover meal. And those that did lived. But see, I think the time we're in now, I think, is more along the lines of the time of Joseph. The time of Joseph in Egypt, where he interpreted, God gave him the meaning of the dreams of the 7 good years, followed by the 7 bad years that were going to swallow up those 7 good years and in a hurry. And I think that the times that we are in now and the times that we are facing, our tomorrow, are more like those times. Because right now and the last 3 years, I would say, of this presidency, we've had a reprieve from the attacks. But boy, they're kicking back up now, aren't they? They sure are. But I think we have time now still, and we should be still preparing. Preparing. Not putting all of our trust, but preparing. What's the saying that we work and prepare like it all depends on us? But we believe and pray, knowing it all depends on God. And He's done. So I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about again, being saved from those that hate us. Being prepared for what's coming. We have eyes to see. You see the communist attack against America in your land today, Americans. You see the socialist attack against America in your land today. You see the enemies of God and the enemies of America trying to destroy America and her history today in the land. We have that. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it at all. And you, because you have a different spirit, you see these things. Now, we're just like Caleb. You try to tell the people, what do they do? They try to stone you with stones. They try to just not have anything to do with it. Well, if that's how they want to be, remember the story of Caleb. Remember that he was not acted on by that evil spirit of cowardice and unbelief and disobedience, which ruled his brethren, but he was acted and inspired and moved by the Spirit of God. And so we can pray, we can offer to help others in that, but remnant, you have to provide for you and your own first. You have to provide for you and your own first. I heard that many years ago about the best way to help poor people is to not be one of them. And so if you can help to not be poor, well, then you are in a financial position to help those that are, maybe that have different circumstances. And it's the same way here. If you have the opportunity to prepare, and you have to pray to God to decide what that means for you and for your family. Because my brother Bill, that lives in, right there in Chicago, well, he's going to prepare a little different than I do out here 15 miles out of the small town of Laramie. And so we're not all going to do the same thing, but you have to pray. You have to pray. You have to seek the direction that God would have you go. It is what it just is. It is what we have to do. Lamentations 2:16 says, all your enemies have opened their mouths wide against you. They hiss and gnash their teeth. They say, we've swallowed her up. Surely this is the day for which we have waited. We've reached it. We've seen it. And see, our enemies are right there. They think this. They think that they are winning. They do. And whether it's just the enemy that you see in the street or the enemies that are in the deep state, in the dark recesses of our government, that have, like it says, they hiss and gnash their teeth. Oh, it reminds me of the pastor in his steak stomping series and stomping a snake, because that's what the enemies do. They are snake-like. They hiss and they gnash. They've opened their mouths wide against us. Psalms 37:12 talks about that. The wicked plots against the righteous, it says, and gnashes at him with his teeth. Verse 13, the Lord laughs at him. Are you kidding me? The Lord laughs at him, for he sees his day is coming. The wicked have drawn the sword. This is still Psalms 37. The wicked have drawn the sword and bent the bow to cast down the afflicted and the needy, to slay those who are upright in conduct. Their sword will enter their own heart, and their bows will be broken. Better is the little of the righteous than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord sustains the righteous. Oh, this is, if this doesn't make you laugh at the enemy, I don't know what can. We can be like our God and laugh at him. Verse 18 of Psalms 37 says, the Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their inheritance will be forever. See, we can claim that blamelessness when we have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, when we have been forgiven, when we have repented and been baptized for the forgiveness of our sins and been washed. Now, does that mean we never sin anymore and that everything is fine? No. But He knows the days of the blameless. He knows our days. And our inheritance will be forever, it says. It says, they will not be ashamed in the time of evil. And in the days of famine, they will have abundance. Let me read that again. They will not be ashamed in the time of evil. Today, this time that we are in is not a time to be ashamed of Jesus Christ. It is not a time to be ashamed of being white. It is not ashamed. It is not a time to be ashamed of being a Christian, red, white, yellow, black, whatever color you are. God made his creation and he called it good. And that is how we are to be. They will not be ashamed in the time of evil. Now is not the time to be ashamed, folks. It is not. It may be a time to repent. It may be a time, and it certainly is, to have that different spirit like Caleb did. I claim this promise that there in Joshua 14 that he's telling. Okay? He tells Joshua. Because it was just him and Joshua that were there. See, maybe it was written down. Maybe it was. But he tells him, he says, you were there. And I was 40 years old when this happened. And it's been 45 years. Behold, now I'm 85 years old. I am still as strong today. Remnant, I want you to claim this. This is the word of God. That is for the heirs of the promise. That's you and me. Do you believe that Jesus Christ, is the, when the word says that he died on the cross to save you from your sins? Yes. Do you believe that if you share in the glory of his death, as the word says, that you'll get to share in the glory of his resurrection? Yes. Then pray this promise. Pray this promise. Have that other spirit that Caleb did. Different than all the world around you, than all the people around you. That's okay if it's different. Just let it be like that spirit of Caleb, of a different temper, faithful and courageous, led by the Spirit of God. Perfect? No. No, far from it. Claim this. I am still as strong today as I was in that day that Moses sent me. And as my strength was then, so my strength is now for war and for going out and coming in. I claim that. I hope you do too. I don't care if you're 20 or if you're 80 or anywhere in between. As a child of God, we can claim this and hold God to his promises. You know, Caleb goes on after this. He says, now Joshua, give me this hill country that the Lord spoke about. Now, we know the Anakim are there. The Anakim, that's the giants, right? The giants are there. Caleb didn't. He wasn't worried about giants. He served a God that was bigger than those giants. He says, perhaps the Lord will be with me. See, he wasn't cocky. He wasn't so, oh, he gave it to me now and it's mine. It's mine. I'm going to go take it. See, it wasn't that attitude. It wasn't that attitude. But he was claiming the promises of God. And folks, we have to get back to doing that today. He says, perhaps the Lord will be with me. And I shall drive them out as the Lord has spoken. And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. And I would bet you, I haven't done research on it, but I would bet you that Caleb went in there and he took those Anakim out. That he killed them like David killed Goliath. He wiped them out, and I would bet you, because the Word of God says it, that Caleb's descendants are still there today. As the Lord has spoken. I think so. I think so. I love this story. I love it. I love it because of what it is, because of the promise of it. And it's for us today. It's encouraging. I hope it's as encouraging to you as it is to me. That it is for us today, right now in July 2020, to be of another temper, faithful and courageous. So I ask you, Remnant, what spirit are you of? What spirit are you of? That's between you and God. It's just a question put out for you to contemplate. Are you of the spirit of Caleb? Do you have a different spirit than all those around you? I hope you do. I hope you do. I hope you're praying. I hope you're preparing. I hope you get our newsletter. We're working on volume 5 right now. The last two, volume 3 was Repent, America. Volume 4 was a call to pray for revival. And volume 5, a message of encouragement to those that abide in Him. See, we can be encouraged in these times. I hope you are. I hope you are. I do. Going to go out with a Carl Klang song. Thanks for joining us. I want to invite you back Saturday morning. Come and join us right here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. Saturday morning, 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. Eastern. That's 6 a.m. for you West Coasters. Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We'll have the phone lines open. We'll take your calls, and we'll, I'm sure, have a full crew. We'll have our Bible and our coffees, and it'll be a great time of sweet fellowship. Well, going to go out with some Carl Klang, and hope you enjoy it. Be strong and courageous.
The pilgrims heard the sovereign words of God on the European shores, then rose to flee the persecuting powers that held England in her throes. In sailing ships they crossed the oceans wide to the land our God bestowed, to plant the seed of Christian liberty so that all the world would know their blessings in the wilderness increased with prosperity and health. But the ancient powers that ruled the earth grew lustfully jealous of her wealth and sent the British armies to make war with his sons of liberty, who placed their faith in God and by his grace fought and won the victory and proclaimed themselves, "We the people, the United States of America, shall be faithful and establish rights as Americans. We shall not bow down to tyranny. We the people, the United States of America, our God reigns and proclaims liberty. We the people, the United States of America."
The mysteries of conspiracy unfolds in our nation's history, as the ancient banking powers that rule this earth tries to steal our sovereignty. And now this new world order marches in to make war within our land. And once again, Americans, it's time to rise up and take a stand and declare ourselves,
"We the people of the United States of America shall be faithful and restore our rights as Americans. We shall not bow down to
of America.
Save you? Will foreign troops invade your soil? Will government enslave you? Will the greatness that was once your crown be trampled in the streets? Oh, America, don't let your name go down in such defeat. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Don't you think it's time now to remember your great past? America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the once God's word was your standard. How gradually you've compromised, how far you finally wandered. For the years of silent apathy, to God we now repent. For the years of work we might have done, that's already now been spent. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Don't you think it's time now to remember your great past? America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned.